Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Life is worth living. It's a gift. Some would say it's all we have here on this little rock, spinning through time and space. This little rock known as planet Earth, we all agree is our best bet for the future. But what does the future hold, and what will it look like? The talk continues as we probe the ongoing chatter by those who take the time to think about it, about us, about the future of the living realms, when we return on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Hey, thanks for being here on the Wildside News. It's always a pleasure to be talking with you. And that's what we're talking about, talking and communication. And you know, the more you listen, the more you hear about a need to talk. And that's what's happening in San Francisco this weekend at the Sustainable World Symposium. To tell you about the event and invite you to participate is the symposium's director, Vineet Allen. Vineet, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Sydney.
Listen, let's first of all talk about what in the world is meant by a sustainable world.
Well, it's sustainability is really about having systems in place, both economically, in terms of national policy, environmentally, that will be in harmony with natural systems and basically what's good for people and other living things. Because if that's the case, then they're likely to survive over the long term.
Absolutely right. It is a synchrony of interacting dynamics that keep this whole thing going, and it's a very fragile process. Now, in terms of addressing the issue of sustainability, and we're going to talk about some of the people that are there, but apparently you're going to approach this from about four different perspectives. Why don't you share with us the way in which you're looking at sustainability on the world?
Sure. We've discovered that there are what's called the three pillars of sustainability, which are the three basic components when you look at general policy. One is environmental, another is social, and the third is economic. And that virtually all of the major global issues have those three components to them, actually, whether they're global or local. And thus, you need to approach any issue from those three standpoints and really address those three factors. The fourth element in the symposium are what we're calling actions for sustainability. Once we've covered those first three pillars and we have a sense of the urgency of the global situation, and a sense that we need to do something, then we address, well, what is that something we all need to do and focus on?
Let's take care of a few details here. Tell us about the event itself, where it's going to be, and the time and how people can register and contact you if they'd like to attend.
Sure, thank you. It is this Saturday, so it's coming right up in a couple days. It's at St. Mary's Cathedral Conference Center in San Francisco. It starts at 9 a.m., bright and early, for a Saturday anyway. The conference itself goes to 6:30 in the early evening. There will be a dinner break for an hour and a half, and then we come back at 8 o'clock for a celebratory evening performance with five different performing groups, ranging from theater to poetry to music. Tickets will be $55 at the door, and $35 if you're a nonprofit employee, a student, a senior, or a school educator. Tickets, just come to the door, and those prices will be in effect at that point. And for further information, either go online at www.swcoalition.org, or you can phone us here at 415-785-1888.
Why don't you repeat that phone number one more time?
Certainly. That's 415-785-1888.
Well, let's talk about some of the amazing people. You really have an incredible lineup of presenters. Why don't you give us a heads up on who is going to be there? Yeah, I know.
Certainly, yeah. It is like a who's who of some of the internationally known activists, many of whom we're blessed to have right here in the Bay Area. Randy Hayes, co-founder of Rainforest Action Network, will be there. Kevin Donaher and Medea Benjamin of Global Exchange. Medea is also co-founder of Code Pink, the wonderful women's activist, actually not just for women, but primarily women's activist network. Anuradha Mittal, who has been with the Food First Institute, now with her own Oakland Institute. Jerry Mander of International Forum on Globalization. Jim Garrison of State of the World Forum. Heather Sarantis of The Natural Step. Who else? Brahm Amati of People's Grocery in Oakland. Wonderful local-based grocery there. And we have Ellis Jones, who is the co-author of the Better World Handbook, one of our primary resources for the information we have. And let's see, have I covered it? I think that's everybody.
Well, if not, people can certainly find out by going to the website or just plain showing up.
Yes, absolutely.
And I certainly encourage people, boy, if you want to get a day-long insight into what's happening in terms of thinking about the future, this certainly is a terrific opportunity. Well, you know, earlier in the show I mentioned that there has been a lot of warnings, kind of starting back in the 60s and in the 70s, about possible problems in the future, and kind of the voices were considered kind of radical environmentalists. However, these are now mainstreamed. These voices have become mainstreamed in terms of messaging around the world. So here you go again with warnings. That's kind of what you're going to talk about, at least a little bit. Do you think people are paying any closer attention this time around?
I certainly would like to hope so. I'm sure that they are. I mean, one of the blessings in disguise of having an administration like the current one we have, which most people know is quite destructive in terms of environmental policy, amongst others, is that more and more people are realizing, hey, the government is not going to take care of this. It's got to be we the people who really finally wake up and really get going and take on more of a leadership position than we have been. I feel quite clear I would not be doing what I'm doing now if Gore had been elected in 2000, for example, who was considered a strong environmental candidate at the time. I probably would have said, well, the government is doing something. I mean, I know where things are not looking good, but at least the government is taking care of it. Well, now it's clear to most of us that that's simply not the case, that we really have to step forward as a grassroots body and do everything we can. So that's kind of the good news within the amount of bad news that's out there.
Well, there's so much messaging that's available to us these days about the world, about politics, about our environment, and it almost seems as if it's coming at us faster than we can process. It's becoming, you know, there is kind of a global wake-up call that we really have to pay attention here. We really have to do something, and obviously that's what the Sustainable World 4 Symposium is going to be focusing on. Where can we find some successes? Where are things? I mean, actually, I just think the environmental movement by itself is an enormous success. But as we look at 2004, where are you noticing some promising events?
Let's see. That's a good question. We'll take one within the media. We have, as you know, we have a lot of media consolidation right now. But there's Air America, the new liberal talk show run by Al Franken and some others, is a promising inroad to that. There's Environment 2004 is one of the election networks that's focused on bringing the environment back into politics as for the political agenda. We have a number of, thinking in terms of economics, there's a number of think tanks now that are beginning to put forth a new economic policy in a number of communities that are forming, that are off the grid, off the energy grid, that are establishing themselves and coming up with manuals of how to do that so that we're no longer tied to the electricity grids, and basically we're establishing a kind of social independence that I think is very important now, to so that we're no longer at the mercy of the going administration and current policies.
You know, I think a great example of kind of how people are coming together to really, really look at this is the Apollo Alliance.
Very good, yeah.
Which is, from my perspective, and we're going to talk with the Apollo Alliance at some point here, looking to really address this issue of, for example, oil dependence, and suggesting that if the nation were to just focus from the top on down to the development of a whole new technology and system, that we could actually become energy independent in 10 years. And I totally believe that. And just as an aside, next week we're going to be talking with the inventors of the hydrogen car, which is here now, which is a great technology.
And the Apollo Alliance is actually a great example of a group that's not just complaining about what's out there, but coming up with new solutions, new strategies that's very well thought out, that will
absolutely
not only be moving us in the right direction energy-wise, but creating all kinds of jobs to do that. It's like taking what's out there and redirecting the know-how and the amount of energy that's out there into the right direction that will be for sustainable energy uses.
What I like about the Apollo Alliance as well is the fact that it is not really politically oriented as much as it is. It's a huge cross-section of citizens, from workers and researchers and business leaders.
Yes.
It's a great example of how we actually can take back a control of our future in a way that will lead to sustainability.
Absolutely. The fact you brought up a very good point. The fact that it's so inclusive of all different sectors of society, I think that's one of the key elements of the sustainability movement, is that it's no longer just a political our side against the other side kind of thing. It's really, by definition, it's designed to be as inclusive as possible, of bringing all the stakeholders to the table, having all points of view considered, and then coming up with a long-term solution that is going to really be taking into account what we've already got and not cutting anyone out of the picture.
That is the vision. It has to happen that way, not only in America, but literally around the world. We're all on this planet, this little tiny rock going through space together. And it's amazing that we kind of go through time and we just don't quite realize that it is up to us, and that we can make a difference, and that we just have to start to talk and to communicate, which is what this show is about, and that and then listen. And then, as you say, do something.
That's right. That's right. It's about finding out what needs to be done and then committing to that kind of action. A big part of that is actually getting connected in a experiential, visceral way to those issues that I think can only happen through being in contact with the kinds of people that are being affected most by these issues. Here in the U.S., many of us are quite isolated from the real problems going on that often are in the developing nations. But once you travel to those countries, or you see some of the documentary videos that kind of brings it home, you can never really not care or feel like it's somewhere else if you're really that connected to the people to whom it's really affecting big time.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, it used to be that people like your conveners here would be considered reactionaries, and I actually now think they've become actionaries. And so my question is, I'm just curious about the younger, fresher actionaries. Is there a healthy new crop out there?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's on the one hand, I think there's a real polarization happening, which is kind of the administration we have in this country is kind of a bellwether for that, as they drive it to a pretty extreme direction of what's good for corporate profits and so forth. It's creating those individuals who are profiting from that. But I think we're getting more and more people who are really can see the writing on the wall and waking up and saying, hey, this is not good for people and living things, and we need a whole new agenda here. And of course, it's the young people who will be inheriting the world that we live in and be the most affected by that. And I'm happy to see a lot of youth organizations starting to happen that are really on the ball, and that's a very hopeful sign.
Do you have any idea how many people are expected to be at the symposium this weekend?
At this stage, we're expecting around 500. That's my best guess. Of course, there's going to be a lot of tickets sold at the door But that'll be a good size for us, and we do have an excellent program lined up. In addition to the conference itself, we have something called Ubuntu Culture Village that's adjacent to that. It's actually free to get into that, as well as to the exhibit booths. And Ubuntu Village will have performances on all the breaks. They'll have a micro symposium for youth. It has a conversation cafe, food vendors with food from around the world. It's kind of like the creative space that mirrors the more serious discussions going on in the main auditorium.
Well, it really sounds like a vision of community, a healthy community, which is what we really have to vision. We have to envision this and believe in it and then work aggressively to make sure that happens on this planet.
That's right. It's not going to happen by itself.
Well, and we can do it. I mean, the thing is, we can just plain do it. We just make a decision and go for it. So let's go, again, where is it going to be and when? And let's go review the details here.
Sure. It's coming right up this Saturday, 9 o'clock at St. Mary's Cathedral Conference Center. That's corner of Goff and Geary, right in the middle of San Francisco. Tickets are $55 at the door, and we have discounted tickets for $35 for students, seniors, nonprofit employees, and school educators.
That's great. And the website?
www.swcoalition.org, and that corresponds to Sustainable World Coalition. And we can also be called on the phone for information, and that number is 415-785-1888. And again, 415-785-1888.
Thanks, Vineet, for sharing your life and vision on the Wild Side News.
That's great, Sydney. Thanks for having me on.
There's a lot to being an American, and we're going to talk about that when we return on the Wild Side News.